Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Before we start, just want to give a little update on the crusade we had in Butere, Sabatia, over in Kenya. And it was a great crusade. We had somewhere between 300 and 400 salvation decisions each day. The crowd got bigger and bigger. By the last day, Saturday, we had about, I would say, maybe 2,000 people there in attendance. And we were set up right in the middle of the town, in the marketplace, right in the middle of town. And so we had many people receive deliverance from witchcraft spirits and all kinds of sickness and infirmity. We had some testimonies of people getting healings from their sickness. And then on Sunday, we wrapped up the week with a televised broadcast that went out over western region here in Kenya, and we were on TV for 3 hours. I didn't know if we could fill the time, but we had some singers show up, and they were very instrumental in leading the worship and continuing the worship, and then I preached for 45 minutes, so we had a great time. Not only was it on TV, but it was also on radio, on Sasa Radio here in West Kenya. So we praise the Lord for that, a great week. And now we are working on a kitchen at our Poshomel store up at the church. And we're going to build a kitchen there where we can make some snacks, make tea, coffee, and pastries. And we're going to open up a little cafe up there to have a place where we can witness to people, counsel with people, and give them a place to sit down and have a cup of tea while they're having their Posho mill work done, while they're having their maize ground into flour. And so we're going to have a kind of an all-encompassing little market center there and encourage people to come. We're trying to civilize that place of Makunda. There's nothing like it anywhere around there. And so it's going to be a great opportunity for Makunda people to have something they can call their own, and a little marketplace right there in their village. Well, today we're going to be continuing the study we started last week on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And as I spoke in the intro, this is foundational bedrock stuff for the kingdom of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And if you don't believe in the Trinity, which some people don't, there's a lot of teachings going around now that Jesus is everything, there is no Trinity, there is no God the Father, that Jesus is God the Father, and He's the Holy Spirit, and He's everything. This teaching today, if you go to John chapter 16, there's so many words coming out of the mouth of Jesus, actually all through the book of John. There is so much coming out of the mouth of Jesus that supports the Trinity idea, the theology of the Trinity, the unification of the Trinity, and it's coming out of the mouth of Jesus himself. And for people not to see it and not to believe it, it's just incomprehensible to me how people can read those things and not understand the concept and the theology of the Trinity. So anyway, we're going to take up here in John chapter 16, verse 13, the first scripture that I'm going to look at. It says here in John 16, verse 13, however, when he, this is Jesus speaking, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and will tell you things to come. And so Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. He's obviously not talking about himself. He's talking about something outside of himself or in addition to himself. And the Spirit of truth is the person of the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, and the person of the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. And Jesus said, he will guide you into all truth. Well, how can he guide you into all truth if he does not have the truth of the Father and the truth of Jesus Christ? He has the truth because all three members or all three persons of the Trinity are in perfect unity. They don't speak against each other. They don't argue with each other. They don't dissent against each other. They're in perfect unity. And so when the Holy Spirit speaks to you when you're a born-again believer and you have received the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit speaks to you. He's speaking the truth, the very same truth that comes from the Father and comes from Jesus Christ himself. But the way God has designed the ministry to us, we have the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. And we talked about this last week, that when Jesus was preparing the disciples for his departure from the earth, from walking as a man on this earth, he prepared them and he told them, you will not be left as orphans. You're not going to be left here alone. The Holy Spirit will come to you and he will guide you, he will counsel you, and he will correct you, and he will convict the world. It's not just the believers who will have the Holy Spirit. They will have it abide with them, but the world will be convicted of sin by the actions and activity of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will minister to the whole world about sin, and he will convict them of sin. That's how people are brought to the cross. That's how people are brought into the kingdom to make a decision, is by the action of the Holy Spirit working on their life to convict them of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And so these things come to pass in a person's life, and then when they receive Jesus Christ as their Lord, with the heart they believe, resulting in righteousness, with the mouth you confess, resulting in salvation. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then the Holy Spirit comes to abide in you, and you have that person, the Spirit of the living God, abiding with you and in you for all eternity. And that is the ministry then of the Holy Spirit. So get in the habit, beloved, get in the habit of asking the Holy Spirit to instruct you, to teach you. Ask the Holy Spirit to counsel you in ways that you have questions about what to do in your life, questions about what to do in your ministry, questions about how much to give, where to give, what to give, questions about issues in the Bible. God will even reveal pictures and scenes and doctrinal theology from the Bible to you through the Holy Spirit. And so all of these ways where you need counsel and you need instruction, the Holy Spirit will provide that to you. And if we look in this scripture in John 16:13, it says, and he, the Holy Spirit, will tell you things to come. Well, how can that be? And that's where people don't understand the prophetic words. People don't understand prophecy because they don't understand the power of the Holy Spirit to show you and to instruct you and counsel you on things that you haven't even got to in your life. That is to say, on issues or events or people or places that you have not received instruction, and it's regarding instruction that is yet to come, because the Holy Spirit can do that, because the Holy Spirit knows the beginning from the end, just as Jesus and God know the beginning from the end. God is called the omniscient one, the all-knowing one, and so is Jesus Christ, and so the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, is known by them, and they can reveal it. The Holy Spirit can reveal it to you, and so that's how you can know events that have not yet taken place in your life, and you can know people that have not yet taken place in your life, and they will be revealed to you because the Holy Spirit is not bound by time. He knows the future, he knows your future, and he knows events, circumstances, and people in the future, and he can reveal it to you. And so get in the habit of starting when you're in prayer, when you're in worship, to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal things to you that you need to know, to reveal things that you don't know at this point in time, but at some point in the future, you will need to know those things, and you will need to make decisions regarding those events, circumstances, and people. And so that's where the counsel of the Holy Spirit comes in. Well, the Holy Spirit was poured out in the book of Acts. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But the prophecy that was spoken in Joel 2:28, that Prophet Joel said that your sons and daughters will prophesy, and they will dream dreams, your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. And so that is the prophetic word spoken by Joel, that you will have prophecy, you will have a prophetic gift given to you by the Holy Spirit. That's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and gifts of the Spirit, of the spiritual gifts, is prophecy. And so that will be given to those who walk with the Lord, those who seek counsel with the Lord. You will be given the gift of prophecy, and so you will know, because the Holy Spirit knows the future, as I said before, because the Holy Spirit knows the future, you will be able to prophesy about things in the future. It's not fortune telling. It's not throwing darts at the dartboard. It's not the Ouija board. It's not I Ching. The Holy Spirit knows the future, and there's nothing real complicated or mysterious about it. Just read your Bible and you'll figure it out. Read the book of John and you will figure it out, how the Holy Spirit has that ability and can give you counsel and instruction on things yet to come. Well, we'll talk more about that prophetic word from Joel chapter 2 verse 28 here in just a minute when we get into the book of Acts. Let's go back to John 16, and now verse 16, Jesus is still instructing the disciples. And he says, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he, the Spirit of truth, will take of mine and declare it to you. Okay, so all things, Jesus says, that the Father has are also mine. So there is perfect unity between the Father and the Son. Jesus said, I came to do the work of the Father. I hear what the Father says, and then I speak it, and I am doing the Father's will on this earth. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. He didn't mean that we're the very same persons. What he meant was we're the same in ministry, the same in essence, the same in our God-created abilities and likeness, but we are not the same person. When you know me, you will know the Father, and you will know who sent me. And so Jesus said that all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he, the Spirit of truth, now he's talking about the Holy Spirit, will take of mine. So the Holy Spirit takes it from Jesus, that word, that instruction, that teaching, and he will declare it to you. And he's talking about to you, the disciples. He's talking about you, those people who are listening to me today. The Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the Counselor, the Advocate, will take it from Jesus and give it to us. And so we have there the Trinity right there explained in verse 16. God the Father, God the Son, and the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. The Trinity is explained right there, how it works. And so the Holy Spirit takes it from Jesus, takes the word from Jesus, the counsel from Jesus, and the truth from Jesus, and he will give it to you. And so, beloved, when you get in the habit and you get in the discipline, I should say would be better, the discipline of taking from the Holy Spirit, you know you're speaking the truth, you know you're being guided by the truth, you know you're walking in truth, and you will not be deceived. You will not need correction all the time. The devil will not trick you all the time. The devil will not take you off in the wilderness area and beat you up and abandon you. And so when you know the Holy Spirit, you have the Holy Spirit, the counsel, and the Paraclete, the Advocate, working with you and for you and abiding in you. And beloved, that is a great place to be. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven to know God. You can know God right here and have God within you and beside you every step of the way for all eternity. Well, let's go on then, because Jesus finished his teaching there in John 16. Please read the whole chapter. If you can, read those three chapters, John 14, 15, and 16. Those are the chapters that explain most about the Holy Spirit. Jesus was instructing his disciples. And then we go on to Acts chapter 1, where Jesus now has already been crucified, he's been resurrected, and he's meeting with his disciples just before he leaves this earth, just before his ascension, which also happens here in Acts chapter 1. And so let's pick this up in verse 4, Acts chapter 1, and Jesus is here with the disciples. It says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father." So the promise of the Father he's talking about here is the Holy Spirit, which Jesus said, "You have heard from me." And so he's referring to that teaching that he did back in John chapter 14, 15, and 16. And he's telling the disciples, wait for what the Father has promised you. Don't get in a hurry. Don't run back to Galilee. Don't run back to your fishing boats or whatever it is calling you. He's saying, wait for the promise of the Father, which you've heard from me. And then in verse 5, key words here, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And so that particular scripture right there, verse 5, is a repeat of Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, almost word for word, where in Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist was prophesying about Jesus Christ coming, and he said, "For I, John, baptize you with water for repentance, but there's one coming after me, the thong whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And so John prophesied, there's one coming after me. He's going to have a different baptism. His baptism will not be of water for repentance. His baptism, you will not be able to see directly like you see water baptism, but this baptism is a baptism of the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so that is it right there. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is very plain in Scripture. It is very easy to see. Once you see it, it's very obvious. Once you see it, you say, well, how could we not see that? It's been hiding in plain sight, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so as you think about the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ is the baptizer, and you think about the Holy Spirit, then comes after, generally, after water baptism, but not always. It can come prior to water baptism, but it is a separate baptism. So we're talking about two baptisms here, and the Holy Spirit baptism is not one you can see. You can see the results of it. You can see the passion, the fire, the gifts, and the manifestation of the gifts. You can see the results of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but you don't actually see anything physically happening because it's in the spirit realm. And if you don't understand that, you pray about it, and maybe God will show you how it happens in the spirit realm. But it happens just as certainly as the water baptism. It's just as certain, but you have to believe for it. You have to step out in faith and ask for it. And you have to say, God, I want it. I don't understand everything about it. Get your brain, your intellect, and your mind out of the way and say, God, I don't understand everything about it. Your ways are higher than our ways. I don't understand everything about it, but I want it simply because it comes from you. I want it simply because you talk about it in your word and you talk about it as if we need it. And so, beloved, if you will do that, step out in faith and say, God, I want it because this is from you. And you're never going to understand everything about God because we are failed human beings, we're frail human beings, and so we're never going to understand everything about God. His ways are higher than our ways, and beloved, when you encounter the living God, whether it is in heaven or someplace here in the spirit realm on earth, you will understand what a mighty God he is, and he doesn't have to explain everything in every minute detail to us. We see in part, we prophesy in part, we know in part, Beloved, just trust God that He has something better for you than what you know for yourself this day. And you can put all the pieces of your little life together, and you're still going to be lacking a lot. What you know about God is just a minuscule thing of what God truly is. And so you just have to trust Him, and these things like the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you just have to stay open and say, God, I believe because it's from You that I need it, that I want it, and by faith I'm going to step out and I'm going to receive it. Well, in verse 7, Jesus said, it is not time for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in His own authority. They were asking Jesus, are you going to restore a military kingdom here in Israel? That's primarily what they were focused on. He said, it's not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in His own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Or some translations say, even to the remotest parts of the earth. So this is the key verse about the Holy Spirit. This is the key to a powerful church, a powerful ministry, a powerful individual believer. When you receive the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall be witnesses. You shall receive power to witness to Me in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and even to the end of the earth. And beloved, one of the reasons we don't have a powerful church, one of the reasons people back away from ministry, one of the reasons people back away from evangelism, from prophecy, and all of these things, they don't have the power of the Holy Spirit because they've been led to believe they don't need it. They don't need those things. They don't need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They've been led to believe that just coming to church and fulfilling a life of showing up for church, well, praise God, I believe in church, I'm a pastor of a church. But there is more for every believer. There's more for every church. There's more for every ministry. When you have that power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to want to be a witness. When I received the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I wanted to be a witness. I wanted to preach the word. I wanted to fulfill the prophetic words that had been spoken over me. And I started preaching in the prison. I got the fire of the living God. I got the fire of the Holy Spirit in me. And I wanted to preach in the prison. I started this radio broadcast shortly thereafter in 2005. And so all of these things in ministry and eventually the African ministry, all of these things came about because I had that power of the Holy Spirit. I had that fire of the Holy Spirit. And you know, when you're fired up about something, whether it's a football team or a ministry, or fired up about going to see your girlfriend or whatever it is, you know, that's a term we use when people are excited, when they're passionate, when they have a desire that can't be quenched. You get fired up, and that's what it is with the Holy Spirit. You get fired up. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 20, that he had the fire to speak and he had to let it come out. He could not hold it within himself any longer. It had to come out. Beloved, when you get the fire of the Holy Spirit, you're going to want to do something for the kingdom. You're going to want to do something to be a witness first in Jerusalem. That's your hometown. That's your locale that is next to you. Then in Judea, that's down the road. Then in Samaria, that's farther away. And then into the remotest part of the earth. And beloved, that may take you to Congo. It may take you to Papua New Guinea. It may take you to Mexico. I don't know where it will take you, but you're not going to be satisfied and you're not going to be content and complacent just sitting in your pew every Sunday or sitting at home watching other people get excited about the gospel. You're going to want to take the gospel to all creation, even to the remotest parts of the earth. You can preach to the rocks and trees and practice on them until you get confident enough to go in and preach to human beings. But beloved, that's what took me into the prison, to preach 2,000 services in a prison. And I hope you catch that fire as well when you get excited about sharing the gospel because you have that fire of the Holy Spirit. Well, we're running short on time today. Next week, we're going to jump over into Acts chapter 2. And we're going to talk about that day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came and it was poured out on all mankind. It wasn't just for a few select people as it had been in the Old Testament and prior to that day of Pentecost. And so that was a fulfillment of prophecy that it was poured out on all mankind. And so tune in again next week. We're going to be talking about how that Holy Spirit was poured out and then the excitement the disciples had to go and share the gospel. Well, beloved, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you need to do that today. Your walk with the Holy Spirit can start today. Your walk to start your ministry can start today. Get down on your knees, repent, and confess Jesus as your Lord. Repent and be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And beloved, I hope that is you today. Make that decision. Let us know that you've made that decision. Email me, pureprairie@hotmail.com, and we can get you some material and rejoice with you as you go on your Christian way. Well, thank you again for listening today. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.